Hello, this is Carla with As I Grow Up, and it is May 12th, Friday, and I'm going to try to get through this podcast and try to get it uploaded. I haven't done anything in a while. I think my last podcast was April 1st, and I haven't been on since because I've been in a dark place. I've been in a hole, if you will, and I'm still there, but I'm trying desperately to get out because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of me. I'm sick of how I feel. I'm sick of how I don't want to do anything. I don't want to achieve anything. I've got so much that needs to be done, and I just can't do it. Have you ever been in a hole? Have you ever been in a pit where you're just existing? You're just, you're just waking up so you can go back to sleep. Yeah, that's where I've been. And I don't understand it when I get in these places because I've got everything to be thankful for. I've got so much to be thankful for. I've been so blessed. And yet I can't get out of the hole. I don't understand it. I don't understand when I turn my phone off to do not disturb, and I get upset when people don't call or try to reach me and see what's wrong, because most people by now know when I turn on the do not disturb that something is happening, and it's the depression, and it's the anxiety, and it's me at back at the bottom of the barrel. And I still wait for someone to call or text me and say, "Hey, I see you've got Do Not Disturb on. I hope you're doing okay." Because people have lives and people have things to do. And it's a cop out to say that I don't have a life and I don't have things to do. It's that I choose not to participate, and I'm wanting someone to feel sorry for me. And I don't know why. I don't know why this is happening now. I was doing so much better. I was really doing better, but now I can't hardly function as a human being. I hate depression. I hate this depression. I hate it with all my heart. I feel like it's a leech sucking the life out of me. And I can't find it. And I can't get to it to get it unattached, to detach it from me so that I can feel better, so that I can live. Because there's life out there. And people say, you know, Carla, maybe you need a job. Maybe you need to get out of the house. And I don't want to. I don't want to. I want to stay locked up. I want to stay locked in. I want to keep the world out and just be here in my own little world. And yet, I'm so lonely at times. I could scream. I made myself get out this week. Well, of course, I had to take my kids to school, my son. My daughter is driving now, and she's taking herself to school. But I have to take him to school when he's here. And I came back home, and I turn on the TV, and I sleep until 11:30 or so. And I get up, and I wait to go get him from school, and that's my day. I'm so consumed by this depression. It rules my life, and I don't want it to, but it does. I allow it. Back to what I was saying, I forced myself to go to a Bible study at a church I attend every now and then, a Bible group on recovering from losses in life. And if you have a chance, there's a book called, it's the same as the class, it's called Recovering from Losses in Life by H. Norman Wright. And I went because I'm still recovering from the loss of my marriage. I'm in the middle of trying to find out who I am. I'm not much of a mom anymore. I mean, I'm still a mom, but my kids are able to take care of themselves. I've got one driving, like I said, one married. I got a son who is pretty much self-sufficient, except taking him to school and picking him up. And I feel alone. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know who I am without being a mother or somebody's wife or somebody's girlfriend. I had to go to the doctor this week. They had to check my knee. I had knee replacement surgery in March, half replaced. And I called my sister to let her know how things went. And I thought to myself, why would I do that? Why would I call my sister to let her know how my doctor's appointment went? Because I don't have anyone else to call. And that sent me down a road that I've not been able to get back from. I'm lonely. I am lonely, and I do not have the confidence that a lot of women have to be on their own. I am someone who needs someone. And that's my part of my identity, is being with someone. But it's been many years. It's been more than 12 years since I was with someone, because even when my ex-husband was here, he had mentally checked out and wasn't here. I've been alone for so long. My kids have been here, but you know, it's a different type of companionship. It's a different kind of situation with your kids. Your kids don't want to hang out with you all the time. They have to have their independence. And there are boundaries with your kids. I don't know what's happened in the last few weeks. I've been unable to stop these feelings of loss. And that's part of why I went to this class, to try to work through these feelings of loss. And I sit there and I watch the video and I do the worksheets and we talk and pray, and I get up and I walk out alone. And I start thinking about it again. And I start going down the road of, what could I have done? What could I have done to change things? Could I have changed things? Could I have done things differently that would have not resulted in what happened? But then I remember he made choices too. It wasn't all me. Loss, big losses, mess you up, I think, more than depression could ever learn how. I think when we, you know, it's not bad enough that depression does something to your brain, alters your brain, but loss, traumatic loss, also alters your brain. And so, how do you get your brain back? How do you get your brain back to where it was before the depression, before the loss, when you had confidence in yourself and you had confidence in the choices that you made? How do you get that back? I don't know. I've been searching for that for a long time. I want to read you just a little thing. If I can, in this book about loss. If I can find it. Hold on. Stay with me. There's so much in this book that is really good if you need help with grief, with grieving. It's a very deep book. Here's one passage that I marked. It said, most people, however, don't identify their losses separately. They don't break them down and grieve for each one. Unfortunately, this makes the grief more intense and the recovery process and new attachments are delayed. The recovery process and new attachments are delayed. The death of a significant person is a major loss. But you have to identify all of the secondary losses as well. They may include the loss of hopes, dreams, wishes, fantasies, feelings, expectations, and the need you had for that person. It is what you lose not only in the present but in the future as well. A widow has not only lost her husband, but has lost a partner to share retirement, church functions, couple group, a child's wedding, a grandchild's first birthday, and so on. Perhaps you have had a significant person during the past few months or years. You have lost. Are you aware of the extent of this loss? And I think that goes for divorce as well. Because when you marry someone and you take vows to be together forever, you don't expect to lose that person. I certainly didn't come to my wedding thinking that I was going to be divorced in 17 years. I figured we would grow old together, that we would raise our children together, that we would be a couple together, going to church with our family. I had all these dreams and hopes and fantasies about what being married looked like. And it was all pretty much shattered. Do I regret my divorce? Do I regret it? Yes and no. Yes, in that it shattered my children. It has left its mark on them. Yes, in the sense that I lost the only man I had really ever loved in my life. I regret making choices that I made out of anger and out of hurt. I regret the things that I did to cause hurt. Do I regret being free from the verbal abuse, from the mental abuse, from the psychological abuse? No. I don't regret being afraid of that. Sometimes I wonder if I could have endured it for the sake of my children. But I don't think I could have. I don't think I would be here if we were still married, unless things had drastically changed. And they didn't look like they were going to change. Do I regret being on my own? Do I look at these days as a loss or a waste? No, because I've learned things that I didn't know how to do. I've learned to take care of myself. I've learned to take care of my kids better. I've learned so many things. Excuse me. So many things. I've learned how to be strong. And I've learned that being weak during these times of depression and sadness, they don't overwhelm the big picture. See, they are little dots in the painting. They are times in a calendar where I have struggled. There are dates on the calendar where I've struggled, but they don't overwhelm the entire year. You have to let yourself feel the grief. You have to grieve. You can't just stuff it down inside, because it'll come up. Like me. I don't think I've ever fully grieved. I talked about it a lot. I was angry a lot. I was angry for a long time. But I don't think that I ever really fully grieved. Really just let the tears come out, because I've always been told not to cry. Not to cry. Don't cry. Crying's ugly. Crying is manipulation. You know, you're trying to manipulate someone with your tears. So I stuff it down, like I did at the Bible study Wednesday night. I stuffed it all down. I stuffed the tears. And I wouldn't let the tears come, because I thought, I'm not crying again in front of these ladies, like I do all the time. I'm going to stuff it down. I'll cry at home where no one can see me. But see, that's the problem. When you don't grieve, when you don't get it out of you, you get stuck. You get stuck in cement. And you can't move forward because you're still grieving the past. I don't know if any of this has made sense. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I could tell you what other people have told me, you know, just do the next right thing. Get up, take a shower, change your clothes. Put on some makeup. Put on a little bit of lipstick. Eat something healthy. But it doesn't stop the tears, does it? Because wherever there's pain in your heart, in your soul, tears are going to come. And they're going to flow. Jesus wept when he heard about Lazarus dying. There's a passage, I believe it's in Matthew, I'm not sure. Two words, or maybe three words. I recall some of it saying, and Jesus wept, or some translations saying, Jesus wept. Weeping comes with tears. I hope that if you're recovering from a loss of a loved one, or you've had some trauma or pain or hurt, whatever in your life, that you'll pick up this book. Again, it's called Recovering from Losses in Life by H. Norman Wright. It's on Amazon. I'm not affiliated with Amazon, so I'm not, you know, making anything by advertising this book, but it's a good book to read if you need help recovering from a loss, getting through the grief process. This is Carla with As I Grow Up, and this is what I've learned today. That unshed tears, that buried grief, that trauma, hurt, pain, you gotta deal with it. You gotta deal with it. You can't keep bearing, because it'll keep coming back to life, and it will keep messing up your life, your relationships. Until you do. Everybody take care out there. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.